now have Rosemary King, and I apologize again if you've just joined. It's 7:30 at night on the East Coast, and these people are keeping their dinner guests waiting downstairs. So, Rosemary, you were on a panel on the career path for speakers. Why don't you tell us something about it?
Sure, happy to. The name of the speech was Chart Your Career Path, Job Advice from Successful Professionals. And fortunately, I was on there with Douglas Hatcher of MasterCard. You'll hear from him in a minute, as well as Eric Schmier of GE, and also Karen Aladno from Eidelman. And I thought I would just share four of the points that came up, not only in our panel, which again was on charting your career path as a speechwriter, but also these points seem to resurface and echo throughout the conference, at least for today, in my experience. And the first point that we've talked about, in fact, that David and I have talked about quite a bit, David Murray just heard from, is this idea of not pigeonholing yourself as a speechwriter only. In other words, in some respects, it's dangerous to say, I'm just a speechwriter, because if your principal retires, for example, you may be out of a job. If you're a freelancer or you have your own business, as I do, one of the main ways I get additional work essentially is to come in, perhaps helping with an op-ed or a book chapter or a speech, and then that will blossom into some other work. So the idea there, and several people shared stories about, if you have a choice, for example, on your business card with your title, suggest something other than just a very limiting or siloed kind of title that's just speechwriter, when you could be, let's say, an executive communicator or something of that nature. When I did that, actually, when I had the chance to change my title to something like that, it was amazing how many more people suddenly were coming in my office. The second point that resonated in our panel as well as in throughout the conference was this idea that John Favreau mentioned this morning, which was that it's really of paramount importance to have a good relationship or hopefully the access to your principal. Because without that, really, you're just guessing. For me, I've been a speechwriter for about 10 years now, and the two most difficult years of my life were when the principal that I was writing for, in this case, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was just completely inaccessible. I had to go through a director of communications to get to him, and it was just very, very difficult. A third theme that I've heard so far and that came up in our panel was also about young people trying to break in, if you will, to the world of speechwriting, and in the idea of taking internships, perhaps originally just writing correspondence or doing a research-intensive job or even as a fact-checker, as a way just to start within a communications office and then work your way up. And the last has been the sort of white-hot topic of storytelling, and that's just come up in so many panels. There's some great research on mirror neurons in the brain and how when a speaker is on the podium telling a story, essentially what's happening in the brains of the audience members is that those mirror neurons are firing. And, I'm not a neuroscientist, but I would recommend, if you're interested in this topic, you can look at two sources. One, I know a great book that I love called Brain Rules by John Medina, who is a neuroscientist, or also the study about Parma, Italy, where the macaw monkeys were essentially they were monitoring their brains through an MRI, and when the monkeys were eating raisins, certain areas of their brain were firing. But then when a human being put a raisin in his mouth, the brains in the monkey were also firing. So it just suggests to you in the ways in which humans empathize with the story that's being told. In other words, their mirror neurons reflect the activity of what's happening. They think they're actually in that story. And that's just one of the many reasons storytelling can be so powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary. Well, at this point, ladies and gentlemen, the current crop of guests who've spoken have left the room because they've all gone off to their dining, fine dining in the DuPont Circle area. And I'm here with Douglas Hatcher, who's the Vice President of Thought Leadership Communications for MasterCard. Douglas, you were on the same panel as Rosemary King was, who was here earlier, talking about it was a track on speech writing, charting your career, job advice from successful professionals. So congratulations. Well, working at MasterCard is obviously a well-known, world-class brand. And I see in my notes you made a telling point about speech writers not getting siloed in one sector. Do you want to explain?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So we kicked it off with some questions of the audience to get a sense of sort of who they were and what they were about. And I was struck by the fact that, you know, I would say two-thirds of the audience was from the public sector. There were folks who were just sort of starting out, more of that ilk than I would have thought. And I did have a chance to kind of talk about how looking at different sectors can be a good way to kind of help you along your journey when you're trying to differentiate yourself in the marketplace. There's a term that people are using now called tri-sector leadership, and it's the idea that when you work across public, private, and civil society sectors, there's a real sort of richness and power that you can have from doing that. And I think a lot of times we get kind of, I don't want to say caught, but we're in a particular track. It could be a private sector track or a government track. And there are some real advantages to kind of jumping the tracks, as it were. And so we spent some time talking about that. It was very interactive. A lot of good questions. I think overall, for me, the themes for the conference are really authenticity and vulnerability. And storytelling is certainly part of that as well. But I was struck during the Cicero panel with Fletcher Dean and Dana Rubin and some others.
Jerry Tarver.
Jerry Tarver and David Murray was the moderator. How authenticity and vulnerability kept kind of coming through. And even at the beginning with the keynote with Jon Favreau, he was extremely authentic, almost as Ian was saying to a fault a little bit in terms of some comments about Joe Biden, but really very authentic, very vulnerable in talking about the story of Anna Nixon Cooper. I think David Murray mentioned that at the beginning. Very moving hearing that story, hearing the story about the working on the president's acceptance of the Nobel Peace Prize and all the sort of machinations that went into that. For me, the authenticity and vulnerability were really key themes for the whole conference.
Yeah, and just to clarify for those people who might not be fully familiar, the Cicero Awards are given out each year. In fact, they're usually given at the conference. But this year, apparently, David Murray manages it as part of his vital speeches of the day duties. And if you're not familiar with that, Google vital speeches of the day, and you can sign up there for David Murray's newsletter. But there was a panel of judges who will presumably, I think the entries are closing this week. So within a month or so, they'll select the winner. And I was at this conference 2 years ago when a Dutch speechwriter who works for the Dutch Ministry of Defense, Annelise Breedlove, won the award for a speech given by, I don't know his exact title, but he's the main soldier in the Netherlands, the head of the Dutch Armed Services. And the video is available on YouTube. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but I'm sure if you use Google or look on YouTube for Dutch military army speech or something. He came on stage and he was presented with, I'm not a weapons expert, but a darn big rifle like an M16, and he kind of cocked it and closed it and made it click and clack, and then looked the audience in the eye and basically talked about his relationship with a gun. But it was the 180 degrees away from what the, as I referred to in my blog, the Yahoos of the NRA would have discussed. This was a guy who was very aware of the gun as a weapon of peace, almost. Anyway, this speech could obviously not have been given by anybody other than that general. And it was, to that degree, met the criteria that the panel have for authenticity. And they challenged us to think long and hard about, when we write speeches, what is it in the speaker that we're writing for that only they could say, and that's obviously where personal information. Otherwise, they're just reading the, you know, the verbiage from the department of, you know, the analyst department or something like that.